Calling all nerds. This is More Than Dice, the podcast where we dive deep into the realms of everything nerdy. Whether you're a nerd culture connoisseur, a tabletop titan, a miniature gaming marveler, or just someone who proudly embraces their inner geek, this is the podcast for you. And now here's your hosts, Gonzo, John, and Nerd. Oh, and sometimes Mizzy.
Welcome to an episode of More Than Dice. We're on episode 297, almost to 300. Wow, I mean, it's
over 9,000.
As I was getting ready today, I was just kind of thinking about that, and we've been doing this podcast since 2017, and to be 300 episodes, almost 300 episodes in, and this is not counting all the other things we have on our network. They're just talking about podcast episodes. It is pretty freaking crazy to be almost 300 episodes doing this from 2017, outlasting and outdoing and outperforming and outshining. And, you know, we're such a professional podcast that, you know, we do everything professionally. Right, John?
Yeah, it couldn't give me enough time to go make my drink.
Hey, when you're a professional pirate.
Look, remember, unlike you heathens, I measure.
So welcome to the episode. I'm Gonzo.
I'm John.
I'm Nerd.
But today I was thinking, because I was writing up, you know, what episode we were on. I was like, 297. So by the middle of next month, we should be in episode 300. And I was looking at things, and I was fixing some stuff with all of our other channels and everything else. And, you know, we're over 2,200 subscribers on Facebook, about 300 or so on YouTube, blah, 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 you know, so on and so forth. And we've got almost 700 things on our SoundCloud. I think we're like 663 things, because, you know, we have all of our little small podcasts, everybody that's underneath us. John's one of our biggest episodes was one of John's minis and movies episode. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Do tell.
So somebody was asking how they were doing. One of the people that we distribute for was asking how they were doing and how many listens they've got. And I told them, and I was just kind of playing around and looking at stuff. And I was like, oh, and then, you know, for a certain time frame, it's like this one was up, and then this one was up, and then this one was up. And then one of them was John's Minis and Movies rant or whatever was up there pretty high. I think it was like 700 or so listens.
Was it the cats one?
I don't remember which one it was. I just saw it on there.
Huh. Now I'm curious.
Yeah, I'll have to go on there. So people always ask why I host everything on SoundCloud, because we have to pay for it. One, it lets me see where our demographic is. Two, lets us know how many plays we're getting. It also, our RSS feed from SoundCloud goes to all the other things: Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Muse on Minis, everything.
Spotify.
So, yeah, Spotify, everything. And so it collects the data from all of those also and puts it together, which is good, because I don't want to go to Spotify and see how many we got on Spotify, how many on Podbean, how many. It just collects it all, which is good, because it makes it a whole lot easier. You know, if I can tell somebody who's like, hey, we don't think we're getting enough listens. And I'm like, oh, you got, and someone this weekend was like, so we're getting like what? Couple of hundred, and I'm like, no, you're getting about roughly 500 listens per episode. And they're like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, that's the reason why I like this, because, you know, we don't get a lot of feedback there, and there's nothing wrong with this. People don't have to like come and say stuff all the time. We don't get a lot of feedback on the episodes, or, you know, how we're doing. We just get to see the listens and, you know, the plays, which is fine. But I mean, if someone doesn't do that and doesn't know, they're like, are people listening to me? I'm like, yeah, here, you can see for yourself. You've got, you know, in the last 4 days, you've had 500 listens. So that's just crazy. Nerd, the camera's freaking out. Not Jurian, Nerd. It's, don't worry about it.
One of my battle reports, actually. One of my rolling dice.
Oh, is it a rolling dice one?
And then theming and paint scheme. That's one of our episodes, actually, yeah. Yeah, it's a rolling dice one.
My camera is freaking out.
Yeah, it has to do with network stability. I'll have to
it's like people like battle reports.
Well, yeah, people like battle reports. I mean, it's like, you know, Captain Mizzy and I, when we do ours, we're not going to film it and show everything. We're just going to take pictures of stages and then talk about it. Because, I mean, it can just take so long. So, oh, we also got some new things coming out. Captain Mizzy and I will be doing a Relic Blade battle discussion. Once we've painted everything, we got everything ready to go. If you haven't seen us painting up, that'll be on there. And then Captain Mizzy and I are going to a comic convention. We're reporting on a comic convention called SoonerCon.
Which one? Sooner?
Sooner. Oklahoma.
Like S-O.
Yeah. S-O-O-N-E-R. Okay. Boomer Sooner.
Okay.
And it we got press passes, so we're going to go and report on that, which I thought was pretty cool.
Nice.
And we're just doing a day trip. I'm going to report on it. It's supposed to be a big, you know, Comic-Con type convention with cosplay and stuff like that. But we wanted to do it because, I mean, they do have like a painting competition and stuff like that. But I figured it'd be kind of neat. It's only like 3 hours away from me. So it's a good day trip. Go there early, get there, start, do all the reporting, make all the pictures, do all the hashtagging, and then come back and then, you know, be done for the day.
The hashtagging.
All the hashtagging.
Hashtag.
And then also, Nerd and I are going to be streaming on Wednesday night together. We're going to be painting together. With, you know, sometimes when John isn't able, you know, isn't working late, he'll probably jump in too, but we got to wait till John.
Pick me. Oh, pick me.
No.
Pick me.
Nerd, how's it going?
Me. John.
I work till late. I work late every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Not a sometimes. It's an always.
Gotcha.
So, just so you guys know, it's an always.
That's our freest night for us to do things. I have things I have to do on Thursday. Nerd has something to do on Monday. I have something I have to do on Tuesday. Wednesday's our freest night.
Monday's going to become workout night.
And then,
right.
What else? As when we are done with Relic Blade, we probably are going to do Judgment. And paint up our Judgment models and do a Judgment battle discussion, because I have like four models to paint for that, so that'll be coming around.
Cool.
That'll be our next one, I think, is Judgment. But I do have what else? An RPG starting up this Friday. We're going to be creating characters, doing our session zero with all newbies using the Pathfinder
system. Is
that
the Pathfinder?
Yeah, it's the Pathfinder system.
Sure.
Got them to say... So, if anybody doesn't know, if you play Pathfinder, it is a, you know, a twist on 5th edition D&D. Some people think it's actually going more toward... The newer edition is a little bit more towards 4th edition. And I never played 4th edition, so I don't know. But
yeah, I would know.
I like the way they're doing it, but they've got a free character builder app online that is really, 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 really simple and easy. And I'm like, this will be really good for, you know, brand new people to walk them through it step by step type thing. So we're gonna be doing that. But
I had session two of my Daggerheart campaign that I'm in. I'm really enjoying the system so far.
Daggerheart
is the new RPG from Darrington Press, aka Critical Role.
Oh, okay.
It's in beta right now, but I'm liking it. It reminds me in a lot of ways of Blades in the Dark. And just because you use like fear and hope and you take different, like the different wounds and stuff that you would take. And it's much more role play heavy and much less combat.
Gotcha.
And it's all based on like D12s. The only time I don't think you almost never roll a D20.
Gotcha.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm in a campaign with like zombies and folks, and it's a lot of fun.
than that, do we have any shout outs this week, by the way? I don't think any.
I didn't hear about anything.
I didn't either.
Me either. So
didn't hear any shout outs. We gotta give the good shout outs for all of our sponsors. We gotta thank Creature Caster, for sponsoring the channel. Be on the lookout, they're doing something special, I believe, in June. We'll be helping promote that. And also we'll be doing some Judgment stuff. We want to thank Muse on Minis for hosting our channel. Make sure you check out their page. They got some new terrain stuff coming out. We want to thank Cuttlefish Colors for their paint line. If you do like some good glazing and base coating colors, and a good plethora of spectrum, go and check them out.
A plethora of spectrum.
Yes. We want to thank Turbo Dork for giving us the color shifting, you know, turbo shifting and metallic paints. And we want to thank Midnight Heroes for making a good chibi game and making chibi artwork. Make sure you go check them out on all of their pages, social or otherwise. Everybody's always trying to make a little bit of extra money this time, so if you have a little and you can spare it, you know, go check out some of our sponsors. What else? I think that's it. Let's get to the super stupid important part of our podcast. Nerd, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Simply Spiked Limeade.
That sounds good.
Okay.
It's quite delicious.
What's it spiked with?
Vodka? I believe.
Not surprising.
It does not say.
Oh. It's spiked
it tastes
with
like
cyanide.
It tastes vodka. Yeah.
Oh, the good shit.
It's spiked with arsenic.
Arsenic.
So I'll be dead by the end of this.
Okay. John, what are you drinking?
I have a Dark and Stormy.
Dark and Stormy. And what's that in that again?
It's a rum mule.
Gotcha.
They call it Dark and Stormy. Technically it's not Dark and Stormy because I'm not using the official rum and the official ginger beer, but fuck off. It's a Dark and Stormy.
I'm
rum and ginger beer and all.
H2O. So I'm still got this last bit of this sinus infection I'm trying to get over, got all my antibiotics going through my body type thing. No, Captain Mizzy, I have not set up a donation goal. We will talk about that in a little bit. Guys, please make sure you're taking care of yourself. Please look after each other. There's a lot of crap going on that's not cool. And we just got to make sure we check out and, you know, just reach out every so often. If you haven't heard from somebody in a while, even if you're just kind of friends, just like send a little quick message saying, hey, dude, you doing all right? And you'll, you know, hear something or whatever. But always check in. As you always, as we always say, if you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. And if you can do something, do something. If you can't, find somebody that will, because we've got to look after each other. Cheers.
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 Captain Mizzy was talking, and so on the stream, we were talking about donation goals. And we usually like to do a donation, and this is not donations for us. But if you do certain things within the donation, we'll do something because we break certain barriers. Sort of like a Kickstarter donation type thing. But I was trying to figure out something we could donate to. And I was thinking like local animal shelter type thing, which is always a good one because you know that they need, you know, things. I'm going to talk with the crew. We're going to be getting into it and see if we can get, you know, like we can find some good nonprofits that we can donate to because... You know, this is, I always like animal shelters because I'm a huge dog person. And, you know, a lot of these people do a lot of work for free type thing. And, you know, talking about doing it. But we were thinking about if we get to certain points within the donation tracker, we would do thing. And one of them already says that if we get to a certain goal, I would have to wear eyeliner again, which I did for one time because someone made a goal and I said I would do it. And I'll wear eyeliner again. I don't got a problem with that. So...
We can all wear eyeliner.
I can already see John going like, the hell we are.
There it is. There it is. Just
I
the
mean,
brain, the
it's
gears
not something
screeching
I
to a
own
halt.
or would have any idea. Also, not really comfortable with putting anything remotely sharp near my eye. It's a good way for
Yes.
me to fucking murder somebody. I had a bad experience.
That's fair. That's
As you can
fair.
tell.
So, John, as soon as you said that, I'm like, nah, John's not in for that. but,
Okay, I'm down for a
I
pedicure.
just
I
got a
need one.
pedicure cookie.
No,
That
you have to
is
give someone a
legitimately on my
pedicure.
list.
You have to give someone a pedicure.
Oh, that's fun.
So, but we have to talk about it as a team to find out, what our donation, goals would be. If you get to this thing, we'll do this. If you get to this thing, you'll do this. So we'll figure it out. We don't know. It just got thrown around, and I don't mind doing charity stuff. I don't mind donating money to a local animal shelter or, something that's going to help, around us locally. We'll have to just figure out who and what we're going to do, and then our goals along there. Maybe John has to do a video on transforming 10 of his transformers and talking about each one. I don't know. He's got probably 60. He's counting them up right now.
I don't
Well,
have 60 Transformers.
we'll also
10's
have to
actually a
figure
tall
out
order.
how we want to celebrate episode 300.
Yeah, we do have episode 300 coming up too. We got to figure out how we may do something. Uh-oh.
What if I ran a one shot for you, Mizzy, and John?
As our 300th episode.
I mean, John's in.
Yeah,
I'm
I'll do a one
very
shot.
uncomfortable calling himself in third person like that.
We could do Oops All Podcast.
Oops All
Salt Podcast.
Podcast. We could do they can get us a 2 hour, so we can start it. We won't do a pre-ramble to it. We would just do we start at 6:30. We'll have our characters made before the podcast. We'll describe them, and then we'll play till 8:30. So 2 hour podcast. One shot. All right, that's it. Nerd's got it. Nerd, you're in
It's
charge.
the one I've run the most, so I've got this one down. It's basically the hangover.
Okay. All right. So we'll have to figure out how we make and how we run stuff. But Nerd, you're in charge of that.
Okay.
Which will happen probably in 3 weeks.
And look at dates in here real quick.
Is that the 25th when I'm going to be gone?
No, it's the one before the 25th, the
18th
17th.
or 17th?
Or sorry, no,
No, I'm
19th.
looking for.
So
I could
I'm looking
just I
for
could 28th, 29th. So it's the
26th,
19th.
19th, 19th.
Yeah.
There we go. I
19th.
was looking at the wrong month.
Twenty-eight,
And for I
twenty,
was
yeah.
looking at Thursdays for some reason.
97,
Yeah, I was
98.
looking at like Thursday, Friday also. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it'll be the 19th will be our 300th, and we will do
I'm putting that on my calendar now before I forget.
a. So, nerd, you'll have to tell us what we need to make and how we need to make it or whatever, so.
Level 4, one common or uncommon magic item.
And yeah, you have to look at you have to help John out.
John, are you
Excuse me?
comfortable with using D&D Beyond?
I actually own the D&D books. I ran a D&D game for a little bit. I
No,
have the
she's talking about
books.
D&D Beyond.
Oh, I've poked a little bit. I have a login somewhere.
Okay, because that's how I have an extension that allows you to roll directly from your D&D Beyond character sheet into Roll 20.
That sounds like communism, but okay.
It's been around since the
Also sounds like communism.
Hey, they released it in March of 2020.
So I'm not
Sorry.
allowed to play a bard, is what you're telling me, though, right?
Oh, if you want to play a bard.
No, it's.
Published classes, subclasses, and races
Are
only.
you gonna set up a Beyond 20 for us so we can log in and
Yeah,
okay. All
yep.
right. All right, so there you go, guys. Our 300th episode is going to be a one-shot ran by Nerd with Captain Mizzy, John Gonzo, and we will see. I'll have to set up a whole new screen and see what's going on. And are you going to do this on? Are you going to do it on Roll 20, or are we just using
Yeah.
D&D Beyond? So you'll have to. All right, so you may have to set up the screen, and you may have to stream it.
That's fine.
I may have to. I we'll have to figure it out because I'll have to. I can get the screen for. I can get it all. You always got to get together. We'll get together
Yeah,
quickly.
you can just stream your end.
Yeah. That way you can do it. And so we'll
Yeah,
do it. We
that way
know.
Not everybody's seeing all of my little creatures and stuff that's on the GM
yeah,
layer.
Yeah, we see what Gonzo sees.
Yep.
Got it? All right. So there it is, episode 300. We will do a one-shot nerd running, and Gonzo, John, and Captain Amazing will be playing. Woo woo. So maybe cameras won't freeze either. Well, if you don't need cameras. But yeah. I mean, with my machine, it probably I've had
It's more me.
Yeah.
But I think it's more when I'm streaming Mizzy that the camera freezes because of Roll 20. And that's mostly because of dynamic lighting in Roll 20.
Yeah.
It uses up all my resources and freezes my camera.
All right. There we go. Episode 300. Let's go ahead and get to our topic because we're at 720. We haven't even hit our topic. So last week we touched on creating an epic campaign and playing an epic campaign and what makes a campaign epic. Now we're going to talk about ending a campaign epic because, you know, when do you end it? How do you end it? Why do you end it? You know, so on and so forth. And while we're talking about that, I'm going to switch over to the paint cam and start working on one of my miniatures for Relic Blades. So switching over to that, let's get this going. John, when do you end a campaign?
If you have planned a campaign to have an end point, you'll know when that is. Because you have your outline of what's going to happen, and you know your players are getting close, and you can start planning at that point.
Correct. If you've got it written out and done, you're good.
And, yeah, if you're running, like, a set campaign, you've got it. Or if you're running pre-made campaigns. Like, for example, when I ran the D&D 4th edition, all their pre-made campaigns, I kind of knew when the end was coming because we're in the last module. You know, kind of like, hey, look, the end is nigh. But the hardest would be if you are running a not, you know, pre-planned campaign. If you're running a theoretically endless sandbox one, the hardest thing is when to end that and how to end that, I think. I mean, we could start with the pre-planned one. It's pretty easy. You should have your plan, but you need to be willing to, you know, tweak it a bit based on player ideas. And if you've done it right, your players will know it's ending, and hopefully they're coming up with ideas to end it epically, too. Like, nerds probably got more experience with that than me. I've just had
really. I've either played in pre-written campaigns or my last homebrew one I ran, like, they got to a high level, they beat a big-ass boss, and then I just kind of wrapped it up from there.
Yeah, we did
been going for 2.5 years.
Yeah, when we did all the D&D 4th edition ones, it was sort of, you know, we saw it come in, final confrontation with Orcus. We did a little wrap-up afterwards. That was sort of easy, though, because, I mean, we had thoroughly, I don't want to say broken, but let's just say bent that system enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, so for those, it's pretty easy. You'll see it come in. You want to have a little bit of wrap-up so people know, so that they feel like their characters are actually done. Xander, you know, wrap up or walk into the horizon, absolutely. But
yeah. You also want to make sure that you finish any of the storylines that the characters have created themselves. Because if there's been, you know, some of them that's created themselves, they're going to be like, well, what happened to, you know, Billy Bob whenever I saved him or, you know, so on and so forth.
But that should be done as you go. You should be keeping track of those plot lines and knowing, basically when to hold them and when to fold them.
Yeah. But that's something that sometimes you need to be making sure you're paying attention to, not just the main plot line.
Yeah, as you go. And sometimes players will start something and it won't be something you want to run with. It's not something you're going to want to complete. And you're going to be like, that's not really pertinent. That's like an extra side questy side quest from this particular thing. Like if it was a role play, you know, if it's a JRPG, that's like the most side questy of side quests. Sometimes you don't need that, but you need to make it clear as you're going that you don't intend to wrapping that up. It's not, you know, you're going to let that thread die. But you should be aware of all the cool side quests that are going on, all the goals people have. So you can make sure that they can accomplish them if at all possible. But don't be afraid if they had a goal and they didn't do enough to achieve the goal. Don't hesitate to let them fail.
Yeah.
Failure is an option, no matter what everyone tells you. Like, there is binary. You either fail or you succeed. So it's always there as an option. And honestly, sometimes that'll leave them there. If you want, this sounds kind of harsh. Sometimes you need to teach them that it's not just going to be handed there in a silver platter. Like, here's everything all wrapped up in a nice package. Sometimes it can be like, hey, you didn't do enough.
You could also do, if it's going to be a wrap up, it doesn't have to be like an epic wrap up too. You could do like, oh, remember John? Well, here's the stinger of, the after credit scene of what happened to that town that y'all decided not to help and rescue or whatever. Doesn't
Oh, I
have to
wouldn't do
be.
that. I wouldn't do that.
I don't have a problem with it as long as it's,
Oh no, that's and ending on a downer is a
No,
no-no.
I'm not
Do not
saying a
do that.
downer. I'm just saying, if something didn't get cleared up, you don't have to make a whole adventure or, a 10-day, multi thing, but wrap it up
Yeah.
somehow.
You don't have to have the Scourging of the Shire to end your campaign.
Correct. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be something big and fancy, just something that, a stinger type thing. But doesn't, like I said, doesn't have to be a downer. And that's not what I
Yeah, I
was
would
going for.
definitely advise against downer. You will turn your campaign from epic to the exact, I mean, epic still, but to be more infamous than famous. And you don't want that. And honestly, that's just not the way you want things to end. I mean, let's set your goal going in. If they go in knowing, like, if you got the hardcore players, like those OSR guys, they would be fully cognizant of the fact that they could fail and shit could go sideways and they could. The world could end, and hey, that's an option. Or if you're playing a pre-campaign for another campaign you played where there was some cataclysmic event and something bad needs to happen, maybe it's going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
You just can't always get Brendan Lee Mulligan to run it for you. But yeah, so you should really have an idea of what your ending is. Like I said, if you're playing an epic campaign, you're going to have an idea of what your ending's going to be. Be working towards that, and you need to make sure, even if you have to do it on, as a meta thing, like, hey guys, we're getting close to the end, so you should start thinking of things like that. The last one I did that had an ending point in mind was the Three Gnomes and a Half Giant. As we got to the end, they knew it was getting close to the end. There was no delusion in their head, and they played for the win and were okay with the consequences since half the party died, and they were okay with it.
That's always
And
a
if you've
good.
made
I was gonna say the party death. I don't ever have a problem with a character dying as long as it's not a space cow type thing, where it's, anything. But especially at the very end, if someone dies, I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. If it's done in the last heroic battle, type
Yeah.
thing, that's
Everyone's okay
always
going
great.
out like Boromir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no one wants to go out like fucking the Wood Elf dude who got fucking murked in the Two Towers. No one wants to
Oh,
do that.
yeah.
Sullivan? No, is that him? That's the big dude. I forget his name. Been a while. But you need to be careful of that. No one wants to, I mean, and sometimes it happens. Sometimes the character will die and you've got a chance to introduce something else. In there. And honestly, if you're going to do that, and depending on how, let's say, deadly you want the game to be prepared to have something for that player to do. No one wants to sit around the table for an hour or two while everyone else finishes up while they're doing nothing.
Oh yeah, hey,
Have an idea of what they can do.
let them roll for the monsters. I've had that
Something
happen.
like that. Have them do something. If you've got NPCs who are fighting with you, let them run the NPCs or something. Just have an idea. It's going to help a lot. Or have effects. If you've got any sort of meta effects from luck or fate type of things, make sure you've got one that would let someone continue fighting till the end and then drop dead at the end. That is what I did for Notbarsha Dave's character. I'm like, look, if you're going to do this, if you fail your death check and it's going to be significant, you're going to die. And he's like, that's fine. And you know, sometimes that's the appropriate answer for that, and it's okay. And by letting it be heroic and appropriate, you'll get that epicness, let's be honest. Because that's sort of the thing a lot of games are missing. People get attached to their characters and they're going to want to, we want to do a spin-off. And yeah, but not always is that the right thing. Know if you want the option of a spin-off or not beforehand or by the time you're getting there, so you know you can play appropriately.
Yeah, you don't wanna, and like you can leave it on a cliffhanger, but it's the end of the campaign, so you wanna have some sort of resolution.
I would only cliffhanger it if everyone's going off for a bit and you plan on continuing it.
Or a
Yeah.
future generation will come and do it, or you know, you're playing the kids of the kids of the kids, or
No,
yeah.
if it's the kids of the kids of the kids, I'd still want to have a resolution for that. It's only if they're gonna if we're like, okay, we you know, it's Renfair season, we're not playing for 2 months or whatever. We'll end on a cliffhanger and pick it back up after that kind of thing. And then the harder would, of course, be if you have a sandbox slash ongoing campaign and no one went to end those. Because often
Yeah.
those just sort of stop suddenly and no one was expecting it. You know,
Yeah.
it's not much you can do. Sometimes players move on and stuff. Maybe sometimes you stop for Renfair season and then suddenly no, they just don't come back because life.
Or sometimes you write yourself into a hole or into a corner and
That's a problem.
been there.
Yeah, I don't know what to do if you write yourself in a corner. Just, you know, maybe hit your character, see your character, see what your players are doing as far as ideas, and let them get you out of it. Remember, cooperative means you can steal any ideas they have and be like, that was my plan all along.
Oh yeah, like one of my players going into the Thieves Guild, joking that it was going to be a rave, so I made it a rave.
Yeah, that makes them feel good. Like, oh my God, I'm in tune.
Yee.
Yeah, so and also sometimes you'll get to a point in the game, you'd be like, man, this would be the perfect ending. Sometimes you just got to.
Yeah.
Just like if it would be the absolute perfect ending, just hit it, just end it. You know, give them a wrap up, you know, eulogy, like, yeah, is this and this happens in the short term. And then, you know, go on. You know, we sometimes get stuck in the keeping going a campaign when it should have ended.
Yeah. I'm honestly struggling with that right now because I'm running two campaigns and I'm struggling with one way more than the other and debating on whether or not to keep go push through and keep going or call it.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes. Oh, you also got to read the room a bit with that. Sometimes, like the new hotness is out or some new thing's out, and they really want to try it, and you've heard the rumblings. Give them a chance.
Yeah.
Or in my case, like I know the new Turtles game is coming out later this year, and we're only playing G.I. Joe until it comes out. Like we know that. Xandervoid says, "Law, when the characters come up with better ideas because it sounds great, and it leads to a different game." Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the cooperative, you know, they're coming up with good ideas and they feel great when you're using their ideas. Unreckle Voice says, there's a gun in the box? Sure, you have no idea what this contraption is, but it's made from a rare metal that you can melt down. Yeah, there's these. You just got to be ready to sort of wing it. I mean, plans are all good, well and good, but sometimes you've got to be ready to wing it.
Yeah.
Xander says, I want to play a Transformers game and can't wait for the Combiners book to come out. Yeah. That system's pretty good. It's the same one for G.I. Joe. So it's got a couple potential broken bits I need to look at some more. It's pretty good. And honestly, certain games like a Transformers game I feel is much more scripted, open. You've got not necessarily a dedicated arc, but you have like a vague, it's a battle, Transformer, Autobots versus Decepticons. G.I. Joe is set up more as a mission by mission one. So when I want to end it, they send a mission and we're done. It's okay. It's an interesting thing because there's not a lot of like necessarily character development in it because of the way it is. Feels a bit like Shadowrun like that, where it was always a little less. You occasionally get those ones. It's like a TV episode. You occasionally get those character episodes, but mostly it's just, mission of the week. So, and those are tough. Like if it's mission of the week, it's tough to, I mean, they're set up inherently to not end. Play as long as you want.
Yeah.
So those would be the hardest to end, and those you generally just end. Maybe someone does something impressive, like impressive, and you can, maybe the, for Shadowrun, maybe you get that one last run that's gonna be super hard, and like they're gonna make enough money to, for that
Retire
to
or
retire finally, and go buy that yacht and sail the Caribbean like I always wanted to. Or you can buy the farm, literally or figuratively. That's probably the best one. In the military game, of course, guys get promoted, transferred out. The Unicron shows up and eats the planet. Well, yeah, that ends it sometimes. But this, do you want to do that? That's nice. That's a downer. Gotta be careful about that.
I have a family member calling. I'll be right back.
So yeah, so you just sort of have to for the ongoing campaigns, you kind of got to play it by ear, figure out what's going to work and what's not going to work. Based off your players, you know?
Yeah, like I said, some of them you already know because it's, hey, it's the final battle type thing or whatever. You're going against a big bad guy.
But a lot you don't, Maybe it's just like you guys are tired for a bit, you have every intention to coming back. You may not. Let me warn you, you're probably not coming back in the same way. It's there's a saying, you can never go back. It's true. You can't. Your best bet is to take the outline of that and go on with something new. Some of the characters maybe transfer over. We've done that in the past, but people always have new ideas for new characters. And sometimes some people are always are fixated on that one character because it just speaks to them, So, and that's the one you want to be careful with as well when you're ending a campaign. If you've got someone who really, really obviously loves their character, and like obviously would be fucking broken up if they die, you might want to make that person live. Zenderboy says sometimes the social contract is we play until we lose interest, then play a new Plow Cleanser game, aka poker, board games, like to start anew. Yep, you're gonna do that, Having fun. It's the social contract is, you do have a little bit of a responsibility to try and show up and play with everyone, because it's a collaborative game, but
Correct.
you don't keep going after the obvious stopping point. It's a lot of the same brown on that console. Are you gonna change any of it
Yeah,
up?
I got a lot of highlighting I need to do.
I was looking at like the bag and pouch, and I'm like, that could be a different brown, but I'd probably, is that stick done too?
Yeah, the stick is actually it's actually a dark brown. I haven't
Yeah,
highlighted
I can
it yet.
tell it's a totally different color, but it's sort of like the color I would have painted the belt with the pouches and all to show like a different type of leather.
Yeah, I'm gonna
Maybe
get
goes, I don't know.
the
I'd go
this.
super dark with those, maybe even like a rhinox hide scorched brown type of color.
Hold on, I got
Or
the straps. The straps I'm gonna do with this little light tan color.
okay, that could work too. Yeah.
That way it'll stand out a little bit more.
Oh yeah, so as we said, the Epic Games are pretty easy. You sort of see it coming. You just got to make sure you're reading the room for the resolutions, and you've got everything ready to go. Sometimes you see the ending coming and go, "Oh, wait, we're not quite ready for that." Well, you got to back up and punt. You got to do whatever you need to do beforehand. Whatever needs to be resolved, get it resolved. Or set off with the fact that it's not going to be resolved. I mean, that's an option as well. And then for the sandbox ones, just sort of if you see the good ending point strike, if you see it coming enough in advance, you can talk to your players about it because they may not be. I mean, and you have to look at your mental health too as the GM. Like sometimes you're like, I'm fucking done with this campaign. So you can say like, hey guys, let's end this campaign. And you can be nice initially, and if they give you any pushback, like, well, keep in mind, I'm out of ideas, I'm about fucking done with it. So what are we gonna do? I know you want everyone to have fun as a GM, but sometimes you're just done. You're like, I don't know where to go with this anymore. It's like we had one we were doing that was a old D&D 3.5, and it was high level. And just like, guys, we're wrapping this because I can't spend the time to fucking create the monsters for you to fight every fucking week. It's just too much. Like, it became the only thing I did. And sure, they had fun, but man. Again, it's collaborative. You've got to be looking at what you're doing too. And a lot of people like to forget that. Like, oh, hey, it's important, your mental health, your having fun and everything as well. You
What?
can't just worry about that. I mean, I know, right? Crazy.
A lot of people don't. I mean, and I'm sure they do. The old school players and the people that have been running a long time know that it's actually quite a bit of work that you have to do as a GM. It's not just looking at stuff. And there's a way to mitigate it, like it says, by you've bought a pre-made game or whatever. But that's still, you've got to keep track of a lot of stuff. Even in a
Enemies
pre-made.
start having so many abilities that you're like just trying to keep track of. Like, if anything, it's the thing that makes it is maybe D&D's biggest problem is high level campaigns get to be a lot of work. It's one of the things where I always found something like Champions or Heroes to be better because it's not like things just get more powerful. It's all based off the same scaling and points. So things don't generally get, maybe just some numbers are bigger. It's not just like, oh, this monster's got like three different special abilities and is only damaged by you peeing on it from 20 feet away.
So, Tarrasque.
I mean, yeah, sure. Do you damage the trash by peeing on it? Yeah, I didn't think so.
I punched a dragon to death once. That was fun.
That sounds great.
Was pretty good.
The only dragon one I have is where there was a dragon and he had this stun ability, but one of the player characters had a found an item in that module that whenever they're stunned, the enemy has to make this huge save or is stunned as well. So literally it was stunned. All right, so wash next. So every time the PCs got stunned, the dragon got stunned, and it was just a wash. No one got extra actions. It was quite stupid and funny. Michael Lewis says my players are notorious for forgetting what they have, both items and clues. Yes, that's tough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I get a little, I don't know. I'll poke them a little, like, make sure you remember your stuff. I can't do everything for you guys. You need to
Yeah.
remember. Like, I'm not about taking all the notes in the universe anymore, but I'll take notes of important stuff.
Yeah. I and that's one of the issues that I come across with one of my parties is they don't take notes or take very like unimportant notes. And like what I hate to say this. I have one group that's like way more invested than the other group, and it's very obvious. Like some of them I can't even get a hold of outside of game time. And that
So
makes
that
it really hard as a DM. And
I think you need to in that case you need to I mean you got to tailor the game for the players. One, people obviously want the not real continuity aside from going from point A to point B and point B to point C down the line. They want the episodic version. That's one of the things I love about the big edition of Champions was the fourth edition, which is the big blue book. And in the back of it, it had all these GM tools, and it was like, here's your campaign sheet. What kind of campaign are you running? Episodic or serial? I'm like, this is all just a sheet you fill out. And if you do that with your players, session zero, you can have it know, like, oh, hey, I don't want to keep track, my life's crazy. I don't want to have to keep track of stuff between game sessions. I'm sorry. Great. No, don't be sorry. Just let us know in advance, and we can make sure we're playing the right game. And that's the kind of game where you're more likely to just end it when it feels right. Yeah, you don't have to worry. It's like, eh, I'm just gonna end it. Let's play something else. And especially if you were started under the idea that they're gonna pay a lot more attention than they are.
Yeah,
Sometimes when
because I
you
was running
let's.
two serial campaigns, and this one, I think it's going to have to get converted into episodic.
Either you convert it or you go, hey, this is a good ending point for this. We're going to do something a little more loose. Probably a better word for it.
Heart of Michael. Yet they remember the plus one skeleton. Exactly. Or the
But.
meth skeleton, as they called it in one session that we had. I described this icy skeleton covered in blue crystals, and they're just like, oh, it's a meth skeleton. And I'm just like, oh God.
Sort of like the heroin pissing dinosaur.
I was thinking of the colored water elemental that flowed up out of the ground into the glass armor. And then a face appeared. Oh, yeah!
So there was
Someone
a
did that online. It's like, oh, that's legend. That was
that's
fucking legend.
fantastic.
That was amazing.
There was a creature in Exalted, which was originally done by White Wolf. And you played pretty much gods. And it was like a Dragon Ball Z episode. You could pick up trees and hit people with, trees. It's a super powerful campaign. Really, really fun. I enjoyed the shit out of it. But there was a dinosaur that when it and it was like a dinosaur, and its piss was heroin. And we went to a town and they had one chained up and were using it as, a drug and collecting it. I was like, okay. We never knew about it. And, it was just interesting. But yeah, a heroin pissing dinosaur.
That's kind of on brand for White Wolf at a
Well,
certain point. Their shit was a little nuts.
yeah. Exalted was a fun game, though, by the way. I enjoyed the shit out of that campaign. That was a lot of fun.
I'm pretty sure it came out in my I don't like White Wolf phase.
I have it in the newest edition, and it's a lot of fun. You get a lot of cool stuff. You're super, super powerful because you're children of gods and blah, blah, blah.
That
Come on,
reminds me of
guys.
the game Scion that came out.
Very much similar.
Yeah.
Except for this was a fantasy setting, not a modern day setting. Same
All
concept.
right. Sergeant Regal Boy, what they did forget was that the fact that Skeleton was holding a key.
Yes.
Captain Izzy says Zedish has a plan that involves peaches, quotation marks, Queen Peaches, for Rhenris, so I can get to that opportunity to make great, assuming vampires don't hit me first. Then Art says, I got a crew nearby cooking up zombies, turning their ashes into a magic drug. And see, this is where players cannot be left to their own devices. Sometimes they just get a little crazy. We had one where they were in a elven town in a forest, and they were worried about undead coming. So the artificer, who had made up, firearms in a non-firearms campaign, just fine. There's same rules as crossbows and all. I didn't care. But he also is like, well, we're going to take this ale and we're going to have the priest bless it and we're going to put it in barrels around so we can shoot that and make it explode into flaming holy liquid. That was their plan. In a forest.
The forest catch fire?
Never got to that point. I actually didn't intend to have a horde of undead. They were just being paranoid. Well, sorry. I hadn't originally planned for a horde of undead. At that point, I'm like, well, kind of fucking have to at that point, don't I? Like when they see some undead and they start planning for a horde of undead and you weren't planning on it, I'm like, oh shit, I guess now we're planning on it.
Have you ever had players just nope, like the entire party just like nope
Oh,
out
yeah.
of a situation in a game where they're just like, oh, this room's too spooky, nope. And you're
Yep.
just like, but there's plot in here.
My players are braver than that. They don't generally know about stuff like that. For the best,
Usually mine
luckily.
don't nope, and then I'll just like move it to a different room if I have to.
Yeah.
Depends on what it is. If it's like bugs, yeah. If it's a bonus thing, if they know, if they were no bad of it, I'd be like, all right, you missed it. Sorry.
Yeah,
You
like
know.
I can understand, like I accidentally unleashed a spider on a player with arachnophobia. They
Yeah.
noped out of that room. That makes sense. But when the entire party goes, "Nope, we don't want to go here. This looks stupid or this looks scary." And I'm just like, come on, I put all this work into this, and you guys are just gonna, nope.
Go somewhere else. Just make it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard one. You have to decide what you're gonna do when they wait if they were to totally avoid something you're supposed to. I
Yeah.
mean, sometimes you're just like, all right, I'll back up and punt.
Yeah, it's trying to figure out what interests the party. And I think that's what I'm struggling with because, like, certain things seem to grab their attention, but then the other things that I've been building, like, they don't seem to care as much. So I'm struggling.
Yeah, well, like I said, like if you're trying to make a epic campaign and they're not, and they're expecting it, but they're not interested in the plot line,
Move on.
I don't know what you do then.
Yeah.
It's tough. Like, luckily, my players tend to just go like, they sort of see like, oh, this is the overarching plot we're gonna do, so they just sort of fucking accept it and just try to make the most of it. You know, my current group of players to sort of go out of their way to make the things work, which
Yeah.
is helpful. They won't do things like completely out of character, but they'll try and find ways to make their character, and that sort of a thing. We had a discussion on at the lunch, you know, about how much of a problem a chaotic evil player is, and I'm like, or character, I'm like, actually, the lawful good character is more of a problem to a party,
Yeah.
like. People forget that. Like, he literally will not do. I played Paladins, lawful good, and I'm like, literally, I'm like, no, we're not doing that. He's like, well, we voted. That's cool. I don't actually care about your vote. You know, you guys have the moral flexibility to make a vote. I have, this is what I'm
None.
doing. You can either be on board or fuck right off. I don't care.
Negate your crime.
I mean, that's the Paladin problem. That's why, you know, back in Paladins had a lot of bad rap. Justifiable bad rap, let's be honest.
I'm gonna be
There you
playing my first paladin coming up, but I decided to throw the archetype on its head and play a horny paladin.
that's the thing people forget is that paladins are still warriors of their gods, and I think they've backed off. Like back in the day, it was lawful good, you're the exemplar. I'm like, but that what if you've, you know, god of fucking war? He wants you to murder shit.
Yeah, they've changed it so you can be just whatever.
Yeah, so I
Yeah.
got around that by being the paladin of the god of justice. So I don't really care about law; I care about justice. You know, when the one town's like, "We're gonna make you do this. You're blackmailing me to do this." Oh no, motherfucker! It's time to die. That caused problems again, but you know, that's interesting conundrum for a party to have. You know, where they're sort of the chaotic evil player, but the chaotic player can do whatever the fuck they want. That's sort of the point of chaotic evil. Literally do whatever the fuck you want. It's not like they can't follow laws. They're just like, laws are dumb. I don't want to follow them. Well, they just can if they need to. Let's see. Da, 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 da. We had a player playing a paladin and he got all the dumbs, had a spaz because he was not in charge of the party because he was the paladin. Yeah, you should not let the paladin be in charge of the party.
Yeah.
Well, actually, having the paladin in charge of the party solves the problem of the lawful goodness because your party's now lawful good. I don't know what you were planning on doing, but it solves the problem. I'm of the opinion nowadays, regardless of how much I enjoy them, just don't play paladins like that. You know, it's I'd rather you have the thieving, murdering, backstabbing son of a bitch because he can do teamwork. He's got the moral flexibility to do whatever the party needs. Oh, we're going to be good in two shoes? I can be good in two shoes. I don't necessarily like it, but I can do it. I've got no
It furthers my
moral
needs.
quandaries. Yep, it serves my needs of having friends around. That's a thing. Yeah, that's probably a whole other discussion, but hopefully you get long enough in a campaign where that becomes something you have to look at. So I think to finish up the topic, if you're planned and you've got an epic campaign, you should have an idea when you're getting close to the end. And you should be able to set up to finish all the plot lines you need to, and then end it. And if you're a ongoing campaign, just suddenly at an end, potentially at an ending point, just wait for that perfect ending point, seize it, and talk to your players and go, "Hey, we're gonna end this," and then give them a suitable like final battle, like solve all the outstanding plot lines that you want to. You know, if you've got like villains who are recurring, you're like, we can solve this real quick. Sort of aim for an ending point for all the big egregious plot lines. Don't solve everything, but like all the big ones. You know, if Dr. Destroyer's coming around being a pain in the ass, go finish the whooping on Dr. Destroyer and then go from there. Than that, sometimes it's just going to end without you wanting it to, without you really knowing, suddenly just ends. Sewer Bear did that. We went on a hiatus and have not come back from hiatus. I do not believe we will be coming back from hiatus.
That's been a while.
Well, it's been years.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID. We went from Ren Faire season into the holidays into COVID. And I liked it. The older they get, the more I hate alignment. Yes, Anderwood, I agree. Alignment had its place, and actually, it's plenty good for the old school gamers, old school rule guys, OSR guys, because they don't make characters; they make characters, and alignments are very good for making characters. You know, if someone says, "I'm a chaotic evil fighter," I'm like, "Oh, I got an idea what you are. You are the win at all costs, sand in the face, you know, sneaky tricks fighter. Cool."
Yeah.
But yeah, the more you get it, the more you realize alignment is an almost unnecessary restraint on how people act.
I mean, every party I've ever played in, our alignment overall is just chaotic, stupid.
Which is better than lawful dumb, in case anyone was wondering. And way better. Both are way better than neutral boring.
Yeah.
There was like Dragon Magazine did this whole thing of all like all these alternate alignments, and chaotic, stupid, and lawful dumb were both ones of them. Part of a group where the guy was playing a paladin, through all the rogues were bad and like no, kind of good. I'm not evil, exactly.
Fuck around
That's
and find out. Yeah,
if we're going to
Mizzy.
find out. Chaotic snacking. I mean, kind of more like chaotic entitled. Oh, no, that was a Dimension 21. That was a Dimension 20 clip.
That sounds like something out of Dimension 20.
It was the guy playing Pinocchio. He was chaotic entitled. I watch all their clips on YouTube because they're just like the short clips are just so funny.
Oh, yeah.
They are. If you're ever feeling down, just fucking find some Dimension 20 clips. They're probably going to brighten your day.
Or just Brennan Lee Mulligan being chaotic and evil.
Or game changer ones, just little
Game
skits at a game.
Changer's
Oh
good.
my God.
Make some noise.
Yes. Just check out some of their clips. They're
Chaotic
funny.
Karen. Oh God, no.
That's the worst alignment. The
Waffle
absolute worst.
Karen.
They can both die in fires. The same fire for all I care. But they wouldn't be happy about it. One of them would want their own fire.
You're not wrong.
Yes. So there you go. There's some ideas. If you have any, always reach out to us with any questions you got. We're happy to help out. If you got any topics for role playing, hit us up. As Gonzo said last time, we're all really into it and happy to do it. I've got decades of experience.
Ditto.
Got about 6 years.
I'm not going to do the math. It's been a while.
Well, I didn't start running fifth ed until I started watching Campaign 2 of Critical Role. That's how I know when. So, because that was what prompted me to want to DM. I'm like, okay, this system looks fun. I can get into this.
I ran most of the games starting in elementary school.
Ditto.
I mean, it was always good when you found a game you didn't have to run. You're like, yeah.
Nice.
But I am kind of the forever DM.
Same. same, 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 same.
Before we meet you, I need to pee a lot.
So while John's doing that, I'm going to try to finish up this model real quick and just get the last bit of stuff that I have to wait on. Oh, crap. Yeah, I mean, there's getting stuff done and getting your campaign over with. It's all speculative of what you're doing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It all depends on your campaign. Are they about to fit the big bad guy? Or is everybody just done? Because if everybody's just done, easy. Let's go to a different campaign.
Yeah.
Do a different thing. Almost done with this model. That's not going to work. Brushes. But, oh man, there's that professionalism we were talking about.
I'm back. Yes, Cookie. Riffs and TMNT. Well, I mean, it wasn't.
Hi, back. I'm nerd. Riffs.
It was TMNT. Riffs didn't come out until I was well out of elementary school.
Model done, for the most part. Got to wait till it dries, and then I can dry brush it, and then
put the flowers on it. Yeah, Banyan Rifts is a good setting and idea. It's just a really, 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 no offense to anyone who loves a shitty system. It's the definition of, wow, all these great ideas just doesn't fucking work. Does not.
Does not.
But in another system, it would work really well. I will also say, my heart goes out to Kevin Ciambotta from Palladium Books. He has had a fuck of a life. I think his partner just passed. I mean, like a life partner, not business partner. Mm. And like years ago, he had that guy embezzling from him. He does not. No man deserves that shit. Well, one man deserves that shit. Maybe two. Up to you who think of who that is.
How many media things we got to talk about today? John, how many you got?
I mean, multiple.
Okay. I got a few. Nerd said she has 17, so we're good on that, Toe. It'll be pretty cool. I wanted to talk about something that's typically on topic right now. So I finally got and finished reading all the Pathfinder rules and got into it. I like it better than 5th edition. I'm going to say that now. I like the rule system a little bit better. Adds a little bit more customization. Adds a little bit more things that I like that are in my genre of games. I also like the races, which is, you can have that in any of them. There's no reason that you can't bring, you know, a fungal type creature into 5th edition D&D. But I don't have to do anything with it. I like the way the hell skills are set up. I've created a bunch of different characters, a bunch of different ways. Created with a few NPCs. It's not a rating, but I've never done Pathfinder. But I like Pathfinder more than I like 5th edition right now.
That's I've just seen not it. Really a surprise.
No.
It's a level of advanced more.
Yes.
Which is sort of the idea, because D&D wants to be anyone can get into it. Yeah. It's the gateway role-playing game.
I mean, I was, so far I'm liking it. I'll, like I says, once we get into the game, we're not recording the game that's coming up, but I'll definitely talk about it because it'll be kind of interesting and fun to hear newbies to do it.
We might record when we do TMNT, but we didn't with G.I. Joe just because we weren't sure where it was going to go.
I still want to play TMNT because I want to play my porcupine again. I liked him. So, into Pathfinder, liking it. I could see it definitely could be a good one for, you know, starting people. Nothing wrong with it. I'm waiting for a couple other books to come out. A new GM screen they got coming out, which I'm okay with. And then there's like a core, another player core book that's supposed to add some new things. And I'm like, I'll pick it up just because it sounds like pretty cool. So, John, what's your first media thing? Oh, sorry.
That's fine. I would say we all like splat books. That's, you know, we're 80s role players. Splat books were the thing. And honestly, Palladium Books did the best version of them. Because it's like, here's a $7 splat book. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm broke, but I can afford a $7 splat book. That's my shit.
Yeah.
Hey, Midnight Heroes, how's it going? So my first is I'm going to tell these in order, so that I watched them. I watched the new reimagining of Roadhouse, Jake
Okay.
Gyllenhaal.
All right.
Oh, okay. That's on my list.
It is on mine.
So I'm going to start with the only unforgivable negative in it.
Okay.
Conor McGregor cannot fucking act.
No.
Who?
And I'm not talking, Conor McGregor is playing the
Oh,
bad guys.
yeah.
He like, and not like, oh, hey, he's like a wrestler from the 80s in a movie. No. He's really, really cannot act. It is bad. Anything else in the movie, any of the other issues, and there are a plenty of issues, but they're all minor, you could forgive, but just it is every time you're like, oh fuck, and someone can he shut his mouth? Can someone shut his mouth, please? It's got a basic it's the same basic idea, and some of the details are used, but it's not the same movie really at all. They have it is kind of like 90s schlock, but it's done in the 2020s.
Okay.
So it's not like say like a bad thing. If you like a standard 90s action movie with all the standard tropes that come with it, you'll like it. Some of the fights are good and solid. His background is interesting and a good update. Some of the parts they have some good secondary characters and all, but it just doesn't have it never quite hits like the first one, pun intended. They don't have as many likable things. The fights were the early fights were really good, Midnight Heroes. I don't like the later fights. Later fights were a little much. They got to be a little egregious, let's say. But overall, I mean, it's going to be my definition of a 2.5. It's perfectly fine. Some people are going to like it more. Some are going to like it less. But I don't really foresee me rewatch. I mean, I might rewatch it like a couple years from now. But it doesn't have enough going for it to rewatch it. The fights aren't good enough to watch it just on that. And it doesn't have a lot of the heart of the first one. So, but still, it's a serviceable action movie. I'm very glad they did not put it out in the theaters. It would have failed horrifically in the theaters. It would have gotten terrible reviews in the theater. It is not a theater movie. But as a like direct to streaming, direct to cable type of dealio, it's fine. It's better than a lot of that direct to cable shit that came out in the 90s. Jake Gyllenhaal's good. He's good in everything. I'll say it. He is just one of those actors. He's going to bring the quality in it. And most of the other actors are solid. None of them are necessarily amazing, but they're all solid. I don't really like his love interest as an actress. She's been in the Suicide Squad as Ratcatcher. She's in some other things. I just don't like her. She doesn't have the charisma that grabs me.
Okay.
Maybe it's her act. It's just something, it's just not quite hit. But the bad guy family dynamic did not work for me. Yeah, there's a lot of ideas they tried. I think it needed one more good pass with someone to punch up the script and then someone to kick Conor McGregor out and get anyone else to be the bad guy. But anyways, Nerd, what's your one?
I went to go see the new Ghostbusters movie, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and it had some great callbacks to the originals, but not like directly. Like, unless you knew the old ones well, you may not catch them, like a single pan shot up over the face of the lion at the library or in New York and stuff like that. Like, things that they did in the originals, not necessarily lines, but like actual shots for the movie, or
It'd be one you like might notice if you do a rewatch and watch them all in a row, like, oh, I saw that a couple days ago in that one.
yep. And not in a way that felt like it was pandering.
That's good.
Yeah. However, I liked the girl in the first one. I didn't care about her in the second one. Like, I understand that it's not like it's, yes, it's kind of marketed to our age group, but also definitely trying to get a younger demographic based on the actors that are in it. But it felt like Paul Rudd carried the movie.
I mean,
Like, he had the best lines.
oh yeah.
It's Paul Rudd. He's
Even,
gonna do that. He's yeah,
yeah.
he's good.
No, he did not disappoint. I give it a solid like 1.5.
Okay, that's good.
Like, I liked Afterlife a little better, but it's about on par.
Fair enough. I haven't seen Afterlife yet, so I skipped that one. I will get them all. I will do a Ghost Watchers,
You will not
Ghostbusters watch at some point.
understand Frozen Empire if you've not seen
No, no.
Afterlife.
I'm going to do
Yeah.
them all at some point. Just.
Yeah. All right, Gonzo.
So I watched and finished all three seasons of Resident Alien.
Yes.
So this is a recommendation from Captain Mizzy. And so that was my whole thing because they're nice episodes and I wanted to see the end because the last season three is on Peacock or whatever. It's not on Netflix. And so I was like, and it had commercials, so it was a pain in the butt. But I wanted to see and watch it. And it's not a bad show. I have a feeling I hope it gets renewed so it gives us the la another season because it is based off of a comic book.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's based off of a Dark Horse comic, from what I understand. And
There's a lot of movies like that or series.
Oh,
And
I'm sure.
this the last season, it kind of it's less about the resident alien and it just starts branching out in all these subplots, which is okay, but Alan Tudyk is the show. I'm gonna tell you right now, he is the show. With
Oh, yeah.
scenes without him in it just aren't as good. Although I like all the characters and all the acting is great, but he just elevates the show a whole lot more. His physical comedy is perfect in this. His facial expressions are amazing. He knows how to get the physical comedy from his face and the way he acts and the way he talks. And his mannerisms and his everything on him. It is great. I love him.
He's great at awkward.
Yeah, and you know what's
So good
funny
at
is
awkward.
I'm watching this and I go, he reminds me of Robin Williams. You know, how Robin
I can see
Williams
that.
his you know, he's got that awkward face and can make those weird expressions and can just be very physical comedy without trying really hard, you know, without slapsticking it type thing. And he does that really well with Resident Alien on
So just
things.
shy of like a Jim Carrey.
Yes. Without overdoing it. And some his lines, son of a bitch. You're just like you laugh every time he says it and the way he does it. And like I will call you dickhead. Yes, your name is dickhead.
They both went to Juilliard.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised.
That's one of my favorite clips of Alan Tudyk is him doing the
I went to
hey hey
Juilliard.
noises. I
That's
went
why
to
it came to my
Juilliard.
mind. And I'm like, and I thought I heard in that Robin Williams went there too. So
Yeah.
I just double checked Wikipedia and I'm like, yeah, he went to Juilliard. They went to Juilliard.
He does this really, really well. His slaps his physical comedy is really good. His facial expressions are great. The way he looks whenever he's trying to like, the alien is trying to smile, and you're just like, holy shit, that's uncomfortable to look at. And he's got it. Him and this, perfect. Season one through three, good fun, simple, nothing too crazy. There's
And it's
some
what, half hour episodes?
45.
45 minutes, okay.
Yeah, and it's great. I love the show. It's good and fun. I'd give it like a one because some of it just kind of gets bogged down with a lot of the other characters, but you feel for the other characters too. But he just overshadows everybody. You look forward to seeing him in scenes because he's
His
funny.
chemistry with the kid in that show is
Oh
also
yeah.
just.
Yeah, they're really good. He everything he does is just pure perfection in this and I enjoy it. Alan, if you're listening, you're awesome. You know you're not, but you're awesome. Thank you.
I mean, not listening, you are
We
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John?
Just to be clear. Well, I'm sure you could probably guess, given what I watched there, what I watched second. I watched the original Roadhouse.
Okay.
Apparently, this is the first time I watched my Blu-ray copy of it because I forgot Roadhouse is technically rated R.
Oh yeah.
And all
Really?
I saw was Cable. You know, I saw Roadhouse on Cable 7 million times, and it is cut.
Yeah.
There's a lot more boobs and stuff. And maybe a lot more cursing too. A couple scenes I didn't necessarily remember, and I'm like, did I just like tune out the movie in the middle? It's possible when I was younger, but itself by Roadhouse. Yeah. And of course, if you don't know Roadhouse, the original is Patrick Swayze's a cooler, so he's like the head bouncer, and he's the second best in the business. But the best is getting slow, and the best is Wade Garrett, who's played by Sam Elliott, who shows up later in the movie. And Sam Elliott in this is great.
I didn't realize Sam
Almost
Elliott.
better
I've
than
never seen
Patrick
the
Swayze
original.
himself. Oh
Oh
my
my gosh.
God. So good. Like,
I was talking to my husband about it. He was talking about how like this was like the first empathetic action hero
yeah,
in a
I mean,
movie. Like
he feels
that
like a
was a big
person.
deal at the time.
He feels like a person. That's character. He
Yeah.
has doubts. He changes his mind on what he's going to do based on things going around him. Like, it makes
Beats
sense.
up a bunch of bikers and takes them to the hospital afterwards.
That's the remake.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the remake. He beats up a bunch of bikers, takes him to the hospital. It's a funny
We've
scene.
not, we haven't seen the new one.
Well, because in this one, he beats up a lot of people. He takes no one to the hospital except himself.
Okay, then my husband was way off. My bad.
Yeah, but no, but that does happen in
That's
the remake.
ironic because we've not seen the new one.
Yeah, but Patrick Swayze is great in this. He got in shape for it. He's convincing as someone who can fight. The fight scenes are good, especially for the time. There are not a lot of cuts. You're always pretty sure what's going on with everything. The bar scenes are a bit exaggerated, but they're supposed to be. That's sort of the idea. And it is a guy bought a bar and he's coming to some money and he wants to clean it up. He's got too much trash or crap. He needs the best damn cooler in the business to do it. Musician, yes. Jeff Healey. The Jeff Healey Band is the does all the music throughout the house musicians. And he is, if you do not know, the blind guitarist for the past some years ago. And the music's all good because it's just his band doing it.
Yeah.
And he was quite a good musician. I love that they build a background with him and the main character Dalton, where they obviously know each other. He and the band know each other. There's a lot of little notes like that that make the world feel real. Now, yeah, it's still like an a over the top 80s small town problems type of thing at the end of the day. And if there is a criticism, it's that they don't really sort of introduce the main what's going to be the main plot of it until the second act. When they start introducing the real problem, they lay a little groundwork early, but you don't really see it till second act. But it's still enjoyable, has enjoyable fights. Dialogue could probably use a little work too, but it's fun. You're going to love the chemistry between Patrick Swayze and my brain just stopped. Sam Elliott, great.
Yeah.
Like Sam Elliott,
Two great
underrated actor.
actors.
Yeah. And all the bit parts do their job. I thought you'd be tall, bigger. So I thought you'd be bigger. Specifically bigger, because they all say it. When they go to hire him, he's like, I thought you'd be bigger. And then the doctor, when she's stitching him up, stapling him up, sorry. He's like, for this time to work, I thought you'd be bigger. And that's the blind Jeff Healey makes that joke, or Jeff Healey makes that joke as well. He goes like, you play pretty well for a blind white boy. He's like, and I thought you'd be bigger. So it's all fun stuff. It's a good, it doesn't, oh, nothing in it overstays its welcome. It's a little over the top towards the end, but it's an 80s action movie. What the hell do you expect? I'm going to give it one. And most of those things weren't really flaws when it came out. The sort of parts, little parts haven't aged super well, but worth it. I mean, worth owning on Blu-ray for the, I mean, not, it's not really worth you care about the extended. It's a movie worth earning on Blu-ray because it's just a fun watch. Nerd, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I started a new book, but I don't think I'm far enough into it to really review it yet, so.
Do you want to talk about the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer?
Oh, gladly. That looks freaking awesome. I'm stupid excited. the chemistry already between Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds is just superb.
Well, you know, I mean, they were friends before this,
Oh
and
yeah.
they would
It
prank each
shows.
other. You know, you can they pranked each other in real life before this even came out, and you can tell that he Ryan Reynolds says, "And I know you said that you wouldn't do Wolverine again, but shit, dude, I got this." And he's like, "Fucking hey, let's do it."
Yeah.
He's like,
Oh yeah. I mean, Hugh Jackman already had the bonus of having one of the few comic characters to go out in a perfect manner.
Correct.
That was perfect. That, I mean, I saw
Yeah,
the clip from
it comes
the
out right before my birthday, so I'm like, I know what I'm doing that weekend.
perfect. Yeah. Looks good. Happy to see it. Love that they're gonna multiverse. I love that they're using it as like a big deal movie to. I feel like this is gonna reinvigorate the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's weird to say that about like one of the biggest cinematic universes ever, but it's gonna reinvigorate it. It should get people more excited again.
Yeah.
I
I feel
know
like we need more of these kind of Marvel movies.
that. Yeah. I mean, not just that. Just less movies, more hype, more quality to them. Like honestly,
Yes.
make an hour special on Disney Plus, like fucking Werewolf by Night,
I've loved
for
Werewolf by
anything.
Midnight.
Yeah, that's the perfect thing. And these actors love doing this because they know, like, I've got a job, and it's important for them. Like, oh hey, you want me to show up in this? Yeah, I'll show up in this. So I love all those guys about. Like, the only person who made a stink had a warranted reason, and resolved it. It's all good. I'm looking forward to seeing that movie and what they do going forward with that, introducing the X-Men into the Marvel Universe.
I know
Should be
that a
awesome.
lot of people have been like dissecting the trailer, and they, some of the Easter eggs that have been in there are kind of funny. Like, two of the guns that Deadpool is holding are the guns from GoldenEye.
I wondered about that.
And then, like, one
I'm
of the
more,
signs was
yeah, the Rob
Liefeld.
Liefeld feet, Light Liefeld's feet or whatever. Like,
Yeah.
oof. And the funny thing is Rob Liefeld himself, like, copied that image and posted, like, this looks great and I'm happy to see it. Like, this is. Like, I love that he doesn't take himself too seriously. He
No.
understands he had a style that was
Yeah. And the song
stylistic.
that they used for the trailer, like,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, like the music choices for the Deadpool movies have just been fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know why Deadpool 2 is forgotten almost. It was a very fun movie. I know they fridged the girlfriend early, and that's not good, but. It fit the story. It wasn't like they fridged her just to fridge her. They fridged it to get the movie going.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Looks like it's going to be a ton of fun. Looks like, it looks like that bridging gapping movie that I hope that they bring the X-Men in the MCU, which I think you really need that in the MCU. I think you need that mutant type thing, and it'll help boost the MCU.
And also, everyone now gets that to ask the same question that Marvel Crisis Protocol players asked a couple years ago.
Who's
Who the f
Cassandra Nova?
Yeah, who the fuck is that?
I was just gonna ask. I've never heard of her.
Oh yeah, she was a big deal, but she still you don't know about her.
She
It
but she was a big deal in a lull in comics. That's the
correct.
problem.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not many people knew about her, and everybody's like, "Who?" And you're like, "Yes, this is okay. Here's the subplot. You're never gonna
That
see
fits.
this. It's stupid small, and it was not done well."
Yeah.
But I mean, it's perfect for a movie like this because the good thing is they can use everything and it's quote unquote disposable. Because
And with the integration of
TVA.
TVA, yeah, like, are we going to get variants? There was a hint at a possible Lady Deadpool. And I'm trying to remember what the Easter egg was in the trailer, but it's there.
I
Oh,
mean,
yeah,
the
I'm sure of
whole
it.
Deadpool family, there's a bunch of Deadpools.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Gwenpool.
Gwenpool.
My last one to talk about, I haven't finished it yet. It's on my list. I did watch X-Men 97 and still loving it. Still great. Not saying anything about it because some people haven't seen it. So just keep watching it. I hope they continue with it because it's been really, really good. So I started Dead Boys Detectives.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a story about two ghosts that are detectives that help other ghosts and supernatural beings. What I really like about the show, and of course it is done by Neil Gaiman, and
Oh.
Death from Sandman makes an appearance in this show, which is great because I loved her in Sandman, and I like this. And Neil Gaiman says, no, I'm not trying to build a Sandman
Sandman
universe,
universe.
but why not, put her in
Why
here?
not have characters show up in different movies? I mean,
Correct.
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those 80s movies that had the same newscaster in it was just cool. Like,
Yeah.
oh, cool, I recognize this guy. You don't need to explain that is because people have seen it.
Yeah. I'm only two episodes in. I'm going to get started after I'm done here and get some more episodes in. I'm enjoying it. It kind of it if anything, it reminds you like of a Hardy Boys with goats
Okay.
type feel.
Okay. I heard goats, not ghosts, for a second.
I'm down for either. Both are on point with them.
But it's been enjoyable. It was fun. I'll watch the rest of them and then give a full review. But it's definitely. I hope it gets renewed, but because it's got a pretty good fan base and so on and so forth. So, we had a flicker. Other than that, I'm enjoying it. So hopefully we'll finish it and soon, and I'll give you a review next week.
Not Brush It, Dave and I are four episodes into Fallout and enjoying it. And then this week, I actually listened to the whole thing of a podcast I usually only get clips of on YouTube. It's called the Unsubscribe Podcast.
Okay.
It's a bunch of gun tubers and related things. And man, those guys are irreverent, funny, but they're generally good dudes. Like, I always worry about them because some of them are a little Republican for me, if you know what I mean. And I don't like to make it political. But listening to this, you hear those guys, like, these guys are all good dudes. Those are the kind of Republicans we need around, the kind of just good dudes who have slightly different priorities. It's fine. But this last one, it was the Fat Electrician who goes on channel. If you haven't checked it out, please do. He is the funniest of them. And of course, his co-host normally is there. And then they've got Angry Cop, who has his own channel, and he's funny because he's a cop and a Army Reserve drill sergeant, so he does a lot of fun stuff with that. He's very, very not politically correct, but sometimes in all the right ways, sometimes in the wrong ways. But and then it had Habitual Line Crosser, who has his own burgeoning YouTube channel where he does a lot of funny talks on current events from a sort of military perspective, but they're humorous. And the four of them just talking for like an hour and a half is just super fun. There's such a conversation going. It's sort of like what we do, but a little more gun and military oriented. It was super fun. I suggest checking it out if you're into that thing at all. And check out the individual guides if you're interested, because they're all pretty amusing by themselves.
Nice. I started a book that I'll be reviewing. It's called Legends and Lattes.
Oh
It's
my.
about an adventure. It's a fantasy book about an adventurer who basically hangs up their swords and decides to retire and open a coffee shop, and all the shenanigans that happen thereafter. And there's like two or three books in this series, and I've had several people recommend it to me, and I just borrowed it from the library a couple days ago, so.
I should be done with the second Shadowrun book I'm reading here soon. I just have a lot of times I've been done at the computer and be like, I need to die. Go lie down and I'm immediately asleep. No time to read. So, but trying to finish it up, going to else. I need to get back into the reading. The library near us just opened. Yes.
Yay.
I'm going to bring a pile of books and I'm going to be like, have books. Enjoy. Let's see if they need anything once in a while. Maybe they want to have someone run D&D or something. We'll see. We'll see what they need and help them out where I can. Help your local libraries.
Oh yeah.
They're great.
Well, guys,
As
that
you know.
is pretty much
Yeah.
our podcast. We will be back next week. We'll give you a new topic and so on and so forth. But we also know what our episode 300 is going to be. We will get started on that as soon as possible. We'll make a big old post and a big old thing about it. It's all going to be on Nerd. I'll do the streaming, Nerd will do all the running, and we'll make all the jokes. And we will see if we can derail this campaign quicker than anybody else. I mean, have a good time playing. It'll just be a one shot just to say, thanks for sticking
I'll
with
just
us for
yeah,
300
I'm just gonna
episodes.
take what I've got and trim it down. so that we can get it into 2 hours instead of like 3.5.
All right, guys, we are going to actually send y'all off to No Guts, No Glory TV. They are streaming right now, and you could always deal with
them. It's going to be his final session of the original Battletech unmodded game.
Okay. We'll get you some Battletech and stuff. But, guys, as usual, please look after each other. Please take care of each other. Just simple, hey, how's it going? Whatever you want to do, it'll be great. If you see us at a convention, or if you know we're going to be there, make sure you look us up. Be on the lookout.
Nova Open.
John's going to Nova Open.
My first con in like 5 years.
We'll have some new stickers coming out too. We have our Captain Mizzy redesigning some stuff for us. They will be pretty, pretty cool when she gets a chance to do it. We'll see it. As usual, look after each other. If you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. And if you can do something, do something. If you can't, find somebody that will. For more than the dice, I'm Gonzo.
I'm John.
I'm Nerd.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to More Than Dice, making the world a better, nerdier place, one dumb joke at a time. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. For more nerdy action or to connect with your hosts, check them out on facebook.com/morethandice and twitch.tv/more_than_dice. Until next time, stay nerdy, stay proud, and we'll see you soon on the More Than Dice podcast.